In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Christ is risen. Our lives can be full of suffering, and there are various ways that people, whether they can control it or not, respond to the suffering in their life. And of course, we know that these sufferings come from our external circumstances and natural disasters, of wars, of the people around us who sometimes slight us and those things, the families we're given. And then also we know that we may have suffering on the inside of us, hearts that are torn in various directions. But how we respond and how we react to these sufferings determines a lot. In our culture, we have gradually put a high value on this notion of victimhood. And it's interesting to think about it in terms of our own lives and in terms of the people we encounter. It's not to lessen the suffering of people who are victimized, but it's to acknowledge what that label actually might do to the soul. When someone, we'll just use an example in today's gospel. We have someone who circumstantially, we find out later it's because of his sins, but circumstantially is paralyzed for 38 years. 38 years is a long time. That's a lifetime. And he goes to the place where he wants to be healed, and he watches, for 38 years he watches others be healed before him. Why? Because he has no man. He has no one to set him in the water. And so everyone surrounding this pool there is suffering and has various ailments. And because they're so concerned about their own healing, they're not looking to help one another, to save one another, to do anything for one another. It's simple. When the water is stirred, I must move quickly and get in so that I can help myself, so that I can be healed. And so this man, for 38 years, with whatever that would mean in the time, in Jesus' time, with the poverty and the shame and the sense of purposelessness and the uselessness and the futility, and of all those various things that that man we might project on him and say he felt at that time when he sat there for all that time, suffering. That's some pretty intense human suffering. You know, our Lord comes to him and sees him in this condition and has compassion on him and says notices he's been that way for a long time. It was obvious to everyone that he had sat there for so long waiting to be healed. Jesus asks him the dumbest question ever. Do you want to be made healed? Do you want to be made well? Now, Blessed Theophylact and other fathers pick up on this, so me saying it's a dumb question isn't insulting to Jesus or anything. It's just to say that for many people in their suffering, this would be a ridiculous question. Why? Because suffering makes us angry. It makes us resentful. It makes us frustrated. And so if we've watched people get in a pool for 38 years, and if it was us, and if we put ourselves in those shoes, we might think that we might be a little frustrated at the question from a passerby who we don't know, we know nothing about, do you want to be made well? Well, why do you think I'm sitting here? Why do you think I'm at a pool? Do you think these are just my buddies? I want to hang out with them every day? This sort of incredulousness enters in the soul of many people who suffer, the sarcasm and the biting sensibilities. That's not how the man answers. He very simply looks up and he says, I have no man to put me in the water. He explains his situation. Jesus then goes on and he says, stand up and take your bed. The man doesn't look up at him and say, what do you mean, take my bed? I've been sitting here, what part of sick don't you understand? 38 years, these legs don't work. Have you ever heard of atrophy? He doesn't do anything except for simply obey. But we can imagine, and maybe we've even encountered people suffering in their own lives who have been told, what you need is this, who pour forth a multitude of frustrations and resentments and angers and explanations of their own sickness. In this case, the man simply follows through and he gets up. He takes his bed and he walks away. We see later in the temple, he goes to the temple. I mean, this is also an important part of the story. We find the man in the temple. After the Jews are accusing him, he goes to the temple and he's obviously thankful and thanking God. And then Jesus finds him and says, go and sin no more, lest the worst thing come upon you. So in some sense, there's a teaching here that sin is what caused this man's particular suffering. But in our own personal lives, talking about this, it might be good for us to emulate the virtues of this paralytic man. This paralytic man does not fall into, from what we see in the scripture, depression. He does not fall into despair about his suffering. He does never give up. He doesn't give up any hope, which is clear even from his responses. And many of the early church commentators and fathers will talk about him being very virtuous in his innocency of soul and in his ability to simply be healed by Christ. That he genuinely hoped that those waters would stir, that he genuinely hoped and that was his singular vision, and that there was a sense of incorruptibility about him that didn't turn him into the mess that so many would find ourselves in when we suffer. Because it's not hard to picture this man being angry, resentful, rageful, arrogant, and all hosts of things, because that's what happens to us when we don't get what we want. That's what happens to us when we see others get the things we want when we're not getting it. That's what happens to us the minute our bodies start to break down and we have to give them some special attention because of age or just life in general, because everything eventually is falling apart in this world. No cynicism, no sarcasm, no rage. So we look at this as a way of an example of our handling of suffering. For 38 years, this man said, and Christ eventually comes. And we, maybe, you know, I was just thinking of another response, which is this, is where was God for 38 years? This was the response of many people who are healed. When they find healing, it's like, yeah, but what about all that time I lost? I can't get that back. I remember one priest telling me, describing, you know, the story of Job. He said, if I was Job, I just couldn't get over the first children I had. I don't think I ever would have gotten over all that stuff I initially lost. You know, at the end of the story, he's restored 50-fold and is much more wealthy and has much more family. So we're asked, and I'm asking you to examine, how do you suffer? Because you're going to suffer, we all suffer. Do you suffer with a sense of faith, a sense of purpose, a sense of guilelessness that allows you to simply be in the suffering, which I'm not going to tell you is going to go away quickly, because oftentimes it doesn't. How do you handle long periods of suffering? Now, as a Christian, the way that we are asked to, called to, encouraged to handle suffering is with faith that God's will be done. That even though we don't like what happens to us, in faith we acknowledge that God loves us and that whatever He gives us is for our salvation. And then we simply trust in Him, which of course is not easy, but it's what we're asked to do. And this faith, and we are asked to avoid despair. And faith helps us avoid despair. Knowing God loves us helps us avoid the pitfall of thinking it's all meaningless, because all of the suffering for Christians and all of true victimhood, we can find meaning in it. And we're especially asked not to simply become victims. Do you know victimhood is in and of the word? It suggests that you are passive. It suggests that you are just identified with your problem and totally passively waiting for someone to fix you. But we are not simply victims. We also have our actions. We also have the ways that we grow, because we do grow oftentimes when God challenges us with sufferings. So, let us emulate the virtues of this paralytic man. We are guaranteed in our life some level of suffering, sometimes extreme, some things we can't handle, and then, of course, the everyday little struggles that we have. And we're encouraged to have faith that God loves us, that He directs our paths, and that He's there for us. And through that faith, we can also oftentimes have endurance and diligence and a heart that's pure, much like the paralytic. So that when our Lord comes, whether He comes in this life, or when He comes in His glory to save us and heal us, we're able to simply and with a guileless heart experience that healing and simply be healed. May our Lord come and also heal us of all our sufferings. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Christ is risen.